There's a woman in your life who would drop everything for you at 2 in the morning, and who would rather chew glass than ask you for a single thing back. You already know who I mean, because you saw her face before I finished the sentence. She's the one who remembers the week you were dreading, and who calls when you go quiet on everybody, and who sends the food and finds the ride and cleans up what other people drop, and she's been doing it so long that you've stopped noticing she does it. But what you maybe haven't noticed, she's tired in a way that sleep doesn't touch anymore. Let's call her Ruth, so we've got a name. And what's wearing Ruth down isn't her big heart or her bad limits. It's the shape she's living inside, and she can't see it because she's standing in the middle of it. You can, though. From where you're sitting, you can see it plain, so stay with me, because once you see this shape, you can change it. Today is about how Ruth, or you, holds the center of your people for years without it hollowing you out. And I'll warn you now, the answer is the opposite of what everybody keeps telling her. So let me show you what's really happening to Ruth, and it's got nothing to do with her heart being too big or her limits being wrong. It's the shape she's working inside of. Picture that jar again, the one she fills, and she fills it from herself, from her own energy and her own time and her own care. Then everybody around her draws from it, taking the food and the call and the fix-it and the steadiness, so the water keeps flowing out. And the thing is, nobody ever notices, almost nobody is putting any back. So the jar gets lower, and Ruth fills it again from herself, and it gets lower again, and she fills it again, week after week, until one morning she reaches in and there's nothing left to give. We call that burnout, but that word makes it sound like Ruth messed up, like she should have paced herself better, and that's not it at all. It's a one-direction shape, one woman pouring in while a whole crowd draws out and nothing ever comes back, and a shape like that empties every time, no matter how generous or strong she is. So the thing I really want sitting in your head when you leave today is this. That jar was never built for one person to fill alone. Not yours, not hers, not anybody's. Now, if you've ever told somebody like Ruth, or maybe told yourself, that you just need better limits, or to pace yourself, or to say no more often, watch what that advice is actually doing. It's telling you to give less, it's managing how much pours out, and what it never touches is the shape. Say Ruth turns down 2 things this week, so the jar drains a little slower. So what though? Because it still drains one way and it still hits empty, which means you're treating the symptom and leaving the shape right where it was. And I'll push back on the other thing people say too, because I hear it constantly. Ruth's got to take care of herself first. You can't pour from an empty cup? Sure, that's true. But notice it's still all about Ruth. It still says the fix lives inside one person. Fill yourself up so you can keep giving, and that just keeps you on the same road with a bigger tank to drain. So the real move isn't, how does Ruth refill herself so she can keep giving alone? The real question is, how does the jar get filled by more than one person? You feel the difference there? That's a whole different question, and that's the one that actually takes you somewhere. Now the shift. It's smaller than you'd think. And it lands like setting down a bag you forgot you were carrying. The center is a role, not who you are, and it sure isn't some calling that grabbed you at birth and won't let go. It's a job, the way the runner who goes first in a relay has a job. Somebody's got to take off and get the thing moving, and right now that's Ruth, because she's good at it and she's willing. But a relay runner doesn't run the whole race alone. She runs her leg and hands off, and the groups that last, the ones nobody ever wants to leave, that's exactly what they do with the center. They pass it around, no vote, no ceremony, nothing official, just one person and then another taking a turn keeping things moving. So you hold it now, and your friend holds it next month, the month you're the one falling apart, and some quiet person nobody expected picks it up and shocks everybody, herself most of all. The role moves, and nobody owns it, and that one change does something to you. Your turn at the center turns into a gift you're choosing to give, instead of a sentence you're stuck serving, and you can pour everything in because you know somebody's got you when it's your turn to need it. It stops feeling like a weight and starts feeling like a choice. And it turns out the people who study stress for a living landed in the same place we just did. They found that folks who actually get real help from others, and I mean actually get it, not just know it's out there somewhere, handle hard things better and last longer in the rough spots. They say it in that dry, careful way they have to, but you already know the feeling. When help really reaches you, something in your body and your mind settles. You can carry heavier things because you're not carrying them by yourself. The books we lean on didn't need a study to figure this out. It's baked into everything they say about how your people are supposed to work. Still, it's nice when the science catches up and agrees with your grandma and what it means for you sitting right where you are. The times you let your people help you aren't the times you're failing at the center. Those are the exact times you're keeping yourself able to hold it at all. Letting it come back to you isn't the opposite of being strong. It's part of what lets you stay strong long enough to matter. So the move that changes your whole life isn't doing less. It's letting more come back. You're already a pro at starting things. You get the food and the rides and the help moving through your people, and you do it beautifully. The thing that's missing, the thing that would keep you going for years instead of months, is letting it come back the other way. Letting your people hold you the way you've been holding them. And I'm not going to pretend that's easy for somebody like you. There's a quiet pride in being the strong one, isn't there? Some part of you actually likes being the woman who never needs a thing. And if you're really honest, there's a little fear tucked under that pride. If I let them see I need something, do they stop seeing me as the one who holds it all together? I get it. That fear is real, and it makes sense. But what's actually true, and I want you to sit with it. The week you're sick and you let your friend bring dinner, he drives home feeling like he mattered to somebody. You saying out loud, "I had a brutal week," gives the person across the room permission to admit theirs was brutal too. You receiving isn't taking from your group, it's giving to it, and it's the only thing that keeps the flow running both directions. A center who never needs a thing isn't strong. She's a one-way shape, and you already know how that story ends. Now let's flip to the other side of this, because it's not only about letting people help you, it's also about the kind of giving you do. Right now, you probably give straight from your own two hands, so somebody needs a thing and you provide the thing, every single time, and that's generous, no question, but it's also what's wearing you out. There's another way to give, though, one that costs you almost nothing and keeps going long after you walk away. Instead of being the one who provides the thing, you become the one who connects the person who needs it to the person who has it. So, picture it. Your neighbor's got way too many tomatoes coming off her plants, and your friend mentioned she's stretching her grocery money thin this week, so you send one text and the tomatoes move, and your neighbor gets to feel useful while your friend gets fed. Something small and real just went around your group, and you barely lifted a finger. That right there is the flow you're meant to start, not carrying everything, just keeping good things moving. When you give that way, every connection you make drops into the jar, so the group fills up while you barely empty at all. And other people start doing it too, because they watched you do it, because it felt good, because the role is in the air now and anyone can pick it up. Now I want to take your real worry seriously, because I know it's sitting right there in your chest. What about the people in your group who never give a thing back? You connect them and you make sure they get helped, and they just take. They don't connect anybody or pass anything along. They're real comfortable on the receiving end, and they seem just fine with it. So are you just enabling something bad? Is the whole idea broken if not everybody plays along? Let me give you two things to hold on to. First, most people aren't takers by nature. They want to give. They just don't always know how, or they're going through something, or nobody ever showed them the way. When you keep modeling the connecting role, more people follow than you'd ever guess. Not because you lectured anybody, but because you kept doing it right where they could see you. Second, yes, some people really do take more than they give, for a season or longer, and a healthy group makes room for that, because the jar holds for them when they can't hold for themselves. That's not your group being foolish, that's the jar doing exactly what it's for. The flow only needs most people keeping things moving most of the time, so you don't need every single person giving every single day, you just need enough people giving enough things, often enough that the jar never runs all the way dry. And you're not in charge of fixing the people who won't give. You're in charge of keeping the flow going and of noticing when somebody's been drawing so long that you need to sit them down for a real talk, which is a leadership thing, not a burnout thing. And underneath all of it sits a quiet truth. Holding the center was never one person's job, and not because you can't do it, since you're genuinely built for parts of it. It was just always meant to rest on a lot of shoulders instead of grinding down one set. Picture an old fire, back before everybody got spread out and shut in their own house. A bunch of people shared one fire, so somebody threw on a log, and somebody else poked it back to life, and somebody walked across the cold to fetch the neighbor who'd been hiding inside too long and sat her down close to the heat. Nobody owned that fire. Everybody fed it, and nobody burned out, because nobody was feeding it alone. That's the shape you're building, whether you've had a word for it or not. You're not the hero who carries the whole fire on her back. You're the one who got it lit and then made sure other hands keep it going, and who lets it warm you on the nights you're the cold one. A fire like that lasts, and your people can feel the difference. They can feel that it doesn't all ride on you giving forever. They know that if you have a hard year, the fire doesn't go out. It's everybody's fire now. So your one thing this week comes in two small halves, because this idea has two sides and you need both to feel the whole thing. First half. Take one moment this week where you'd normally do something alone for somebody, and instead just connect two people, where one of them has the thing and one of them needs the thing, and you're only the one who noticed. Send the text, make the introduction, point them at each other, and then step back and let them. That's you starting a flow instead of being the whole flow, and it'll cost you maybe 3 minutes, so notice how different that feels from carrying it yourself. Second half, and this one's harder for people like you, which is exactly why it matters more. Let one person do one real thing for you this week. Not a little thing they'd do anyway, but something that's actually help, and when they do it, receive it. Don't shrink it, and don't rush to give something back so the debt is gone. Just say thank you and let it sit there, because that's your part of keeping the flow going both directions. Start one flow. Receive one gift. Not because you earned it and not as a trade, but because that's how the jar stays full for everybody, you included. So that's what it takes to hold the center without burning out, and it isn't doing less or setting more limits. What you do is change the shape, from one person filling everything alone to a lot of people keeping the flow going together. So start the flow instead of being the whole flow, and let the flow come back around to you too, and hold the center as a role you're choosing rather than a weight you're stuck under, knowing anyone willing can hold it, and knowing that when you need to rest, the fire doesn't go out. Next time, we go one step further on the same idea, because even a well-shared center has to know how to bring new people into the holding and what that looks like and why it's easier than you think is where we're headed. Watched over, as always, by Daisy.